Will go through their youth. Each one will go through this stage of life. Youth is indeed a very crucial time in life. Because right there, things that will transpire there will affect the future of a person. That is why it is very important that our youth should be taught while growing up. Here are some of the issues that our youth experience in their lives, and many of them will fall if they will not take heed of what God has said in His Word. God has said in Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1 to 6, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but is like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Right there you see, because youth will go through this stage, and they have that innate need of acceptance. That innate need of acceptance is very, very crucial to them. That is why many of them will just do anything just to be a part of the group. Peer group acceptance is one of a spiritual battle in the life of the youth. But God has said, reject and avoid an ungodly peer group. If that peer group will cause you to sin against God, it's better to have no peer friend. It's better to have no friend if our friends will just lead us astray. Now that is hard on the part of the youth, because it's really difficult for them to stand against that, because they need to be accepted. Another problem that we discussed already the previous week is that young people, they have difficulty trusting God because they see the lives of faithful men and women. They see the lives of the faithful men and women who trust God, and then they have a difficult life. They have suffered so much for their faith. That is why it's so hard for our young people to trust God with their future. Another problem of the young people that we look at is the career to choose. They do not know what career to choose. But as for our perspective as a church, as the people of God, as servants of God, whatever career to choose, whatever career you are taking, you have to choose to be a soul winner. Wherever you are, whether you are taking engineering course, whether you are taking nursing course, whether you're taking a law or teaching, whatever course you are taking, you have to be a soul winner. If you love God, love the souls of men. If you love God. And last week, I believe we talked about this, the church to choose. And that is the previous week. When young people will go to other places because of work, or because they migrate to another place, or marry to and be in another place, most of the problem for Christians, they don't mind which church they go to. But for us here, I advise you, You know, you have to be very careful in choosing your church. Choose a church that teaches the Bible as a final authority of faith and practice. Because that is, you know, you have less problem there. You have less problem in the church. But you will find that the church is mostly in independent Baptist churches. That's why if I go to other places, I will make sure that I have a church to go to. When I was in Cebu, I had my business, I did my Sunday school, but there I cannot really, I will try my best not to take absences from church because I did my Sunday school. So, but if there were times that I have to be out of town, but the town that I'm going to, the place that I'm traveling to, I need to make sure that there is a church there that I can attend Sunday. So again, that is advisable, and I advise also all of you, wherever you go, whatever place, make sure that there is a church. Right now, we have so many churches already. Unlike before, it's very difficult. I talked to Pastor Ariel yesterday, and we talked somehow about how we started our ministry. And his was a little bit different, similar, but not exactly the same. His pastor, he remembers that when you go to a place and you need to find a church, and join the church. If you cannot find a church, you start one. And that's what happened to Pastor Ariel in those times, in Wellington. He went to a church and had difficulty finding a church, then he started one. And by the grace of God, he has a very vibrant, very beautiful church, by the grace of God, in Wellington. And the same thing is true with our church. We have story also to tell about our beginning, how our church, a small group of people, and how the Lord, being with us throughout the years. But that's very important as a young person. When you go to a place, choose the church. Importantly, Bible-believing church. And again, last week, we talked about how to get on well with parents. This important relationship with parents. There were three reasons why. I talked to you about this last week. Three reasons given why children should obey their parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1 to 3, answer all these questions. For this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. When God said it is right, it is right. Your parents are perfect, but to obey your parents is right. Your parents are not always holy, but to obey your parents is always right. And this is the commandment that has promise. The promises are that it may be well with thee. What does it mean is that when you obey your parents, it will be well with you. That means you will grow up well. You will study well. You will be married well. You will, have your own family well. In other words, that is good because God will always be with you. You will be well. It may be well with thee. And the other promise is that thou mayest live long on the earth. God's promise is that you will have a long life if you obey your parents. Amen. If you love your parents, if you just respect, give reverence to your parents. If you just do that, if you do not, cause to hurt your parents, you will have a happy life and you will have a long life. I talked to you an example last week that the Chinese people, they do not believe in God, that we know. They do not believe the God of the Bible. They do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the promise of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1 to 3, is not just for Christians. The unbelievers benefit, you know, they gain the benefit of practicing that. The Chinese people, they worship that. We don't worship our parents, we don't worship our ancestors, but they worship their ancestors. They give reverence to their, you know, forefathers. And they treated their forefathers as God. With their reverence to their parents, to their ancestors, the Lord blessed them with long life. As a general, you know, lifespan of Chinese people, they have long life. Why is that? Because God honors His word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, how can we get on well with our parents? Partly, I talk about that. He says to obey them. Obey them. Respect them. Love them. Because God loves us and He cares for us. God placed parents in our homes. God gives us homes and gives us parents as God's ordained representatives to provide us care, to provide us our needs. So therefore, it is just but proper for all of us to obey and honor our parents. And for all children who obey and bless their parents, the Lord rewards them. The Lord rewards those people who love their parents. Now, this morning, we are going to take a look further of this particular aspect in the life of a young person that is very, very important and crucial in his or her life. And that is the things that are the matter of the heart. How to choose a life partner? Because, again, your spouse will either make you or break you. You cannot change spouse in the sight of God. And here is very, very crucial. You cannot commit mistake in that. Because once you sign that document, you sign your life away. And that is very serious. That is why when there is marriage or wedding, there is this series of counsel. Counsel after counsel after counsel after counsel. On top of the messages from the pulpit. On top from the messages from, you know, from the parents, the usual talk with mother and daughter, and father and daughter, and father and son, and mother and son. It's all like, all the aspects there that needs to be known in order for a young person to be prepared for that big day. That is a very important thing. Choosing a boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse. But again, I have a very personal distaste of a worldly type of boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. Late in my Christian life, I realized that is not really right. Because boyfriend and girlfriend is just a pattern to Hollywood and the worldly things that are happening now. Boyfriend and girlfriend will just, it's just like pitching divorce. You have a boyfriend, later on you find out that you don't keep, then you move to another boyfriend. You have a girlfriend, the same thing, you don't like it, you move to another. So you are being conditioned to leave that relationship and find another. Then leave that relationship, find another. Leave the relationship, find another. When you get into marriage, find out that it's not going to work, find another. It is, conditioning to that kind of life, which is not really the will of God. So I encourage young people, instead of praying for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, stop praying. If you want to pray really, pray for a spouse. Pray to God, Lord. Because to have a boyfriend or to have a girlfriend is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to have a happy married life. And it cannot be accomplished by a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It can only be accomplished by a spouse. So therefore, pray for a spouse rather than a boyfriend or girlfriend. But first of all, I want you to ask it from the Lord. Young people, you have to ask it from the Lord. Do not use your eyes and your carnal senses. Because if you use your eyes and you use your brain to choose a spouse, for sure you will regret. Or if not, you will find it that you are wrong in your own judgment. You have to ask the Lord. Because without you knowing it, God has prepared someone for you. He already did. Before you know it. Even before you were little, God is already preparing a person for you. And that person will come into your life perhaps for a long time, and then later on will be revealed by God, and that is the one I prepared for you. If you use your eyes, you will follow all these pretty girls, you will follow all these macho, these good-looking guys, and you will follow them and chase after them, and you cannot see that person that God prepares for you. You must be watchful spiritually. I talked before, back in the Philippines, I talked to the young people there during one of our lessons. I said, if you really want to know what the person that God prepares for you, close your eyes. You should not make, what you perceive in your eyes is the one that God prepared for you. That is not the basis. You see, a lot of examples there, even in my own personal life, but again, we cannot really linger there because there are good lessons to learn. We spent years and years and years and years and years chasing after this, people that we thought God's will for us, only to find out that that's not. If you use your carnal senses, you will not be able to find God's choice for you. The key is Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. How to find that person that God prepares for you? That verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Your pastor doesn't know what's your desire in your heart. Parents maybe do not know what you desire in your heart. Your siblings may not know what you desire in your heart. But God knows what you desire. In order for you to have that desire in your heart, delight yourself. Please God. Just please God, and He will take care of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all, including, you know, a godly spouse, including a happy home, including, you know, material blessing, including, you know, a perfect place to live, including a workplace to work, including the whole environment there. God says, all shall be added unto you. You don't have to work it out one by one. So that you will be accomplished, you will be satisfied, you will be a happy person. No, you cannot. You cannot provide your own happiness. God can provide it for you. If you are here, you are an unmarried person today, and most likely, you do not know yet who that person is that you are going to marry. But here is what every concerned pastor advises to young people. First, you want to make a list of what you should look in a life partner. You know, make a list. Without using your eyes on this particular person, but make a list in your mind, or make a list, really, write it down. And these are basic. Probably all Christian homes, all godly parents, all godly mothers should teach their children to consider this list. Although at the end, it's still the Lord. Because you see the examples there. In the Bible, you see Abraham. Abraham asked Eliezer, his servant in the house. He sent Eliezer to go into the nativity of his parents, home, to find a wife for Isaac. And there was Rebecca. And Isaac did not have a chance of talking to Rebecca ever before their wedding. He did not have a chance of maybe writing letters, nothing. He just came. Because Abraham knew that his family is really godly, so therefore the children are taught in a godly way. He doesn't want Isaac to be married to the people in the land where they do not know God. They do not worship God, and they have no affections about God. So he wants his son, Isaac, to be married to these people that he knows that they are trained and they are taught and they are, you know, inculcated in their minds and heart to love God. And that is every godly parent wants in their children. That's what I want in my children. That's what you want in your children. For your children to be married to those people who love God. Another example is Jacob. Jacob was sent by Rebecca to go again to his brother Laban's family, because Rebecca was worried about the Canaanite woman, whom his other son Esau married. She did not like it. She doesn't want to Jacob to marry the people from women from Canaan. So that was one purpose. The other purpose is to escape from the wrath of Esau. But the real purpose there is for Jacob to be married to a person that loves the Lord. That not really love the Lord, but at least they know their family. They are brought up, you know, different from the world. And again, you see that there's also, again, while you have all this list, there can be also a different way that the Lord, in the end, will lead you. Because you also see the story of, the prostitute, the wife of Hosea. God places in the heart of Hosea to love, what's the name of that woman? Gomer. She was a prostitute, and yet Gomer loved that woman. Whatever happened, she was sold in the market, you know. Hosea took her, bought her back. God allowed it because that is the picture of Israel, you know, doing a whoredom, doing bad things in the sight of God, and God still loved Israel. They served other gods, just like Gomer were sleeping with many men, but Hosea kept on chasing after her. The same as God chasing after Israel. Israel served other gods, then God chased after Israel. So that is maybe an exception, because, but again, at the end of the day, it is the Lord that will give you your spouse.
Amen.
And for the men, God said, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. But here is the list. The first in your list must be, first and foremost, that person must be saved. Saved. I'm not saying that just ordinary Christian, when you say, oh, they're Christian family, no, no. That is not, you know, enough. Just to be a Christian is not enough. That person must not just be ordinary Christian, but that person, and you must make sure that that person is a child of God. You must know that that person is a child of God. And another thing that you put in the list is that that person must have a heart for souls. When that person has a heart for souls, he has a heart for God, that person will be afraid to do anything bad, with or without people looking at him or looking at her. Because he is, he fears God, he will do the right thing. He will not just do foolish things because no one is looking around. Because if you see a person like that, if the spouse is around, he will be good. But if the spouse is not around, then he will play around. But if the person loves God, he has the fear of God in his heart, that person is, you know, I believe that is every spouse desire, to have a very honest and very fearful spouse, fearful in the sense that he is fearful to God. He doesn't want to commit sin. Another thing in the list, you should put there that person should be sound in doctrine, because if that person has a wacky doctrine, you will not have harmony in the home. That person will criticize your King James Bible. That person will criticize your commitment to the church because he has a wacky doctrine. He may believe that Satan and Jesus Christ are brothers. I'm talking about Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. What can we do? Oh, they're Christians. No, that is why Christians is not enough. Because there are Christians who believe that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are brothers. So that's just one, but there's no many. Sound in doctrine. He's loyal to a fundamental biblical church. And also, that person love and respect their parents. Because if that person does not respect, does not love parents, give me good reason why he will love you. Give me good reason why he will respect you. If that person does not respect you. And that person put in the list, dress modestly. That person should dress modestly. Not showing a lot of skin. We don't need that. That person also should respect their pastor. If that person shows disrespect to pastors, that's a red flag. If that person does not respect parents, that's a red flag. We have to find it out. That person also should not be soon angry. Because the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You keep on fighting, and he or she will always get angry. You will always have a fight. Another thing that you put in the list is that that person should be patient. Patient. That means you can take that. Make that person wait and see if you can wait. Because if the person cannot wait, what will happen if you need to travel and you will be away for 3 months and that person has a need and cannot wait for you? Can I wait for you? Then you will go for others because he will not wait. But be patient. Another thing that he put in the list is that that person must be wise, has wisdom from the Lord, loving the Bible, loving God, and wanting to serve God. He has a desire to serve God. He will not like put off anything about God or Bible study. No, we should come next week. Maybe not today. Midweek will come. You should look at this person like that. You must have a desire to serve God. And that person must be hard worker. Hard worker. You know what, young people? You have all this in your hand. You have this in your hand. You can choose. You have the ability to choose. Who among these people have this list? But the problem is sometimes because of your attraction, physical attraction, sometimes it blinds you of all the good things. Because you fall in love with a very, the twinkly eye, you cannot resist. That nice flowing hair. And that nice kiss, those things will go. Those things that you look at the woman or look at the man, those six packs will go. They will not stay. The problem, if you are attracted to a person because he has that, and time will come that will go, and then you look to the next person next to him, he's got that. You love this person because he's got six packs. And time came that he's gone. And then you look to the right, oh, he's got that. Can you say to him, bye bye? No! You're not based in that. You will be very wrong.
That's right.
If you base your choosing of a life partner in that physical appearance. That is why 98% of Hollywood marriages fail. Because they have all this part, all these temporal things. And there's one thing that's really difficult for many. Do not let physical attraction blind you to the lack of other important qualities in a person. Remember that you are going to marry the brains as well as their bodies. Spirit and the soul there, you must know the innermost part of that person. When you are married, that person that you marry to, his or her problems will become your problem. If you marry a godly person, at least that person will not put all your problems upon your shoulder, but that person, because he loves the Lord, he will put all his or her problems to the Lord. You also have your own problems that you have to give to the Lord. So both of you will give your problems to the Lord, rather than put the problems upon each other. If you fight and argue a lot before you marry, you are sure to fight and argue a lot more after you are married. So, just take a look at this thing, those particular aspects of choosing spouse. And again, build the spiritual side of your relationship. Build the spiritual side. And again, it needs to be built first. As you both serve God, both of you should serve God. And then, together in Bible study, and learn issues there. Learn, because sooner or later you will use that knowledge that you have to teach your children, so that your children will not go astray. Especially when you go to another place and then live there, and you have no place to go in a church or something, you must know the Bible. Then develop that understanding or communication, and as you go without interference of the physical side of relationship. Because most of the time, the physical side is very strong. That you will not think about any spiritual thing. You will not think about God as long as you can touch the hand of that person. As long as you can caress that person. And again, if your relationship is like that, if the, you know, the physical side will be nourished first, the spiritual side will just die out. And once it happens, if you allow the physical side to develop during the courtship, and you have that sexual relationship before marriage, my friend, that act, it tends to hinder the growth of the spiritual and communication aspects of your relationship. It so often leads to breaking up your relationship or divorce, because that is a relationship that is based solely on physical attraction. That is why this is the most, you know, common failure. Because it's normal to us to get attracted to, things that are beautiful in our eyes. And sometimes that will override, sometimes that will blind anything else, whatever happens to that person. A girl praying for a boyfriend, but she's a Christian. She asked God, "Lord, please, I trust in your choosing. I will just rely on you, Lord. I want a boyfriend. If you have a hard time, here's a picture." She relies on the Lord. She relies on the Lord, but she has already someone there that she wants the Lord to consider. My friend, this is a very serious event. Choosing a life partner. Again, I will say this, that your spouse will either make you or break you. You cannot commit mistakes in that.
Amen.
Make sure that that is the person that God wants you to marry. Because there is no way that you will be happy if that is wrong. There is no way. And we want you to be happy. Me as a pastor, I really want you to be happy. I want all my children to be happy in their married life. I want all the children here in our church to grow up and then to prepare themselves. I want even the children as young as 8 maybe, or 9 or 10, to pray Pray for the present that God prepared for them that they will need in the future. Pray. Say to the Lord, Lord, I know that you are going to prepare someone for me. Please, Lord, keep him or keep her safe. Help them in their family, in their home. You do not know. I met JK when I was already 27 years old for the first time. And imagine how many girls I met before that. You see, you cannot really tell. JK also met me when she was already 24 years old. How many boys, you know, she met in her life before that? That is why you cannot really tell. Who's going to be your father? God knows it. But because only God knows it, the best way, please the Lord. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Now, I have no time, but next week, Lord willing, I will continue with it. But the lesson will be, we will circumvent our lesson about how to court biblically and why we reject sexual relationship before marriage. Why we reject intimate touching before marriage. I think this is really important also, especially for our young children, young people, that there is reason for that. There is reasons why we need to do that, because so many relationships were broken, so many relationships, so many hearts shattered, so many dreams shattered, so many lives taken because of wrong relationship. Close down our prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the morning. Lord, as much as it is our desire that our young people will live well and then they will grow well and then they will marry well, but oh God, the things that we can do here in the pulpit is just advisory. We cannot force these people, Lord, to do the right thing. The decision is theirs. Lord, it is my prayer, therefore, that you will touch the heart of the people, that they will follow your way, because your way is a perfect way, and your way is a perfect way. And if they will find that, Lord, if they will obey that, they will end up happy in the relationship. And that is what we want with them. And I pray, Lord, that you will just speak to these young people and even to the parents, that they also should involve themselves in the decision making of their children, not leaving them to make their own decisions of who to choose for their life partner, because the relationship of our children can affect the parents as well. And then therefore, Lord, we give wisdom to our children, that they will listen to the biblical principles of courtship and avoid themselves from taking steps that will make them go astray or that will hurt them in the end. And with that, we will have an example of successful relationship that we can showcase unto the next generation. And as we desire, Lord, that our children will grow up well and marry well, please, Lord, allow that the hearts of our children also will be soft to receive the instruction.
children are so hard, and they don't listen, only to find out in the end that they are wrong, but the damage has already been done, and the lives are already broken and shattered. While they are young, Lord, I pray that you may take heed and listen to their godly instruction of coaching. Bless, Lord, our church. Bless our young people. Bless the leaders that we place on the young youth program, and our young professionals, the ladies and group, the men's meeting, and the Bible study group. Lord, I pray that your hand will always be upon this ministry, that you will help all of us to God, and live honestly, live with integrity, and live that in a life that is pleasing in your sight. Bless all of us once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
It's all sad to see a pastor on the shelter in the car.